That's racist, all
the
of you.
What?
Recording
the lighting. The lighting.
And there's the opening gambit. You're racist to the lot of you. Welcome to the show.
Let's see here. Hang on a second. What am I doing with my life here? Oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Hang tight. There we go. All right, I'm ready to go. Ish.
Let me wet the old whistle.
Ish doesn't help me. There we go. Oh, crap. It's all good.
Uh-oh.
Nothing. No, it's fine. It's fine. Probably fine. It'll be okay.
I like the sounds of that.
No.
It sounds confident.
It's not. It's nothing. I had everything was recording, but I still had a blank screen up on the studio, so I already switched it over and we're all set.
Hang on. I need to actually hang on. Don't go. I just realized I need to change my shirt. Sorry. One sec.
Just do it in front of the camera.
Where's the show, Jammer? You're supposed to do stuff like that in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Wimp.
What a twat.
Is that the American version of a twat?
You see, I was one.
That's how we pronounce it. That's how my New York friend pronounced it.
It's always one of those funny things playing games online with people that actually play out of Australia and of course the UK, expats from those places, because their usage of certain words is completely different than here in America. And it's great to hear some American players on games like TF2 just freak the fuck out when people say, yeah, it's just like, you guys realize that there's more to this world than U.S. English, right? You got that. Anyways, you guys ready to get your show going?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Get the show on the road.
I'm ready. Church shirt has changed. I'm ready to go.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Why are they? What look is that, Jammer?
I mean, you were giving me like an old timey radio announcement. I thought I was watching Clone Wars for a second.
Okay, I didn't know they had old radio timey voices in Clone Wars, but we're the flagship international and premier podcast of LRMonline.com and the Genre Pond Podcast Network. Is that better for you?
Genreverse
Podcast Network. The accent destroys my brain thoughts. Today, of course, we have almost the whole crew. Jonesy is still on hiatus as he moves to a different country for another exciting adventure. I got Danny here with us. How's it going, Danny?
I'm good. I'm enjoying my first week of being 48. And I'm on my second glass of Jack Daniels and rocks. I was going to say ice, but it's not ice. It's just rocks.
Got you, Jammer.
Doing well. Ready to take on the world one news item at a time.
And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can't see him. But Kyle, our lovely producer, is also here with us.
Hello.
Has he ever been introduced before? Is that the first time he's been like officially introduced?
I think last week I mentioned him.
Introduced? I said introduced.
I think he's done it before. And you guys always say thanks at the end, so appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Now we won't this time, since you appreciate it so much. You can also find us on the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you listen to podcasts, and on LRMonline.com. And I already mentioned you can watch this ugly mug and these other beautiful mugs on YouTube, our Genreverse Podcast Network channel. So, boys, we got some news, and then who watches the Watchers? Everybody ready?
So ready.
This week, we're starting with trailers, as we usually do, but, well, no buts. Let's do it. Did you guys watch the trailer for C? I was going to say, but last time we did it at the end. did you guys watch the trailer for See How They Run, which a movie I had not heard of, but looks very interesting to me?
So this was funny. This was actually I was watching a YouTube video yesterday and I forgot what it was, but this was the pre-roll ad for it. And it was one of those pre-roll ads where I was just like, oh, well, I got to watch this whole thing, whatever it is.
I think it's how I discovered it.
I was thinking, like, I don't think Wes Anderson has a new movie coming out, but yet this felt like, you know, kind of like Wes Anderson. There were some aspects that weren't quite as Wes Anderson, but it was pretty close and very clearly heavily influenced, including, you know, his use of certain cast members, such as Saoirse Ronan and
Adrian Brody.
And it literally just had the essence of that mixed in with a murder mystery, Agatha Christie type story. And I was just delighted. I was actually really annoyed that this pre-roll thing, I couldn't skip it. I literally couldn't skip it because there wasn't any indication of what the title was before the very, very end. So like 10, 20 seconds in, I was like, okay, what's the title? Just give me the title so I can watch this trailer later. Nothing. And finally at the end, I was like, okay, cool. I can look that up later. But yeah, I was really excited by this. I definitely want to see it. And yeah, I'm super stoked. So I'm all on board, like 100% into this.
Did you get any Coen brother vibes too? Clear. I got their vibes even more than Wes Anderson, but I would say, yeah, with the cast and even the look of a lot of the sets, it's very Wes Anderson-y.
Hard to say. I don't think it felt quite as dark as a Coen brothers movie, but who knows, when we watch it, maybe it will be. Then again, I guess Wes Anderson has shades of dark as well. I'm thinking, like, I remember Grand Budapest Hotel had certain aspects that were darker very than dark. I expected. So yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't get Coen brothers vibe, but I can't say I'm super keen on them. I don't think I've watched very many of their movies more than once. The one exception I have is a movie that no one will expect, and that is The Lady Killers starring Tom Hanks. That might be my favorite movie of theirs, which is funny because I think it's probably like they're one of their most critically lambasted of their entire filmography. But I just love that movie. Anyway, non-sequitur.
Danny, what did you think of See How They Run?
After Jammer just gave his input there, I was worried that I was going to be completely disagreeing with him. But no, I'm not completely disagreeing with him on Lady Killers being a good film. I'm completely disagreeing with him on the trailer, though. I was not enamored by that at all. I was bored by the trailer. Sorry. Jammer and I, you and I normally agree on stuff like that, to be honest.
Yeah, we do. I'm surprised.
Yeah, me too. So, I just felt bored by it. I felt it was trying to be some other films that it just wasn't, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just didn't inspire me. It just felt a little bit, someone's trying to do a parody of something or a serious something. Didn't really get it. Wasn't into it, but
I will give me you that, as I mentioned earlier, I was just like, Wes Anderson's not having another movie. And I was thinking, this is Wes Anderson, right? But something about it, it wasn't quite hitting the mark in a specific way. And maybe it's like kind of that same trend where you have all these indie filmmakers who are like trying to replicate, I don't know, Tarantino or something. And it just, something about it rings just a little bit false. I don't know what that is for this because I haven't watched it enough, but I could see your point a bit. Do you like Wes Anderson movies, Danny?
Well, this is the thing. Generally, no. The two films, or the one film that springs to mind that I did quite enjoy was you're going to hate me for this. What was the stop motion puppet one?
Fantastic Mr. Fox. Oh,
that's it. I really liked that, but I think I really liked that because it was so different and it was.
I think that's my favorite of his.
Yeah. And I have to say, that's probably the only one I've actually sat through and actually quite enjoyed and would watch again, much like you were saying about the Coen brothers. Lady Killers is the fun one for me. So I did enjoy the Fantastic Mr. Fox. Didn't get it for this one, but what about you, Nick? So at the moment, we've got one plus and one minus.
I'm going to disagree with you about the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Of course you wouldn't like Fantastic Mr. Fox.
And then agree with Jammer about the trailer. I actually didn't feel the Wes Anderson-y part. To me, it did feel very Coen Brothers more than that. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
How do you not feel Wes Anderson?
I don't know. I'm also not a big fan of Wes Anderson.
That's unrelated. Those are unrelated things. Well,
Mostly I've watched the most is A Life Aquatic, and that's very different than his current stuff. I will say I love the actors. I definitely can see that this movie only exists because of the success of the Agatha Christie adaptations and Knives Out. Definitely feels like that kind of paved the way for them to be like, oh, we can make like everyone's in one building, like there's a murderer and the murderer is still among us and we're both suspects and victims. And I was mostly impressed by the cast. Of course, we got Sam Rockwell and God, I'm going to butcher her name. Jammer, will you say her name?
Saoirse Ronan.
There you go. And she's very funny and he's kind of more dry. And then we also have obviously Adrian Brody. I'm only going to read the actors I know off this list. Ruth Wilson, who I know mostly from The Lone Ranger. David
Oyelowo. And she actually has a tour de force performance as Mrs. Coulter in His Dark Materials series on HBO.
That's also what I recognize her from, as the posters for that. David Oyelowo, I think I pronounced it correctly the first time, but I can't pronounce it now, who's been an excellent actor. And his parts in the trailer are really funny, where she's reading, she's like, I can't remember the exact words she says when she's reading off. Like, he's a something playwright. And he's like, I think you mean celebrated playwright. It's like, she's like, oh, right. I can't read my own handwriting. But looks fun.
That was
looks
a great joke. That was fun. A great joke.
Yeah. And just her every time in the trailer, you know, Sam Rockwell barely gets a full sentence out. And she's like finishing his sentences or like jumping into conclusions. Like when the character just comes in and says, I did it. She's like, okay, you're under arrest. So it just looks like a lot of fun. We'll see when it gets closer. September. So actually it's not that far off.
I'm disappointed because I'm wondering what's coming out that same weekend.
Because we're gonna crush.
If we're gonna cover honestly, because I go to movie maybe once a week these days, maybe once every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And
mostly for the podcast.
Mostly for the podcast. So if there's another movie that comes out that is not that movie that we're going to cover instead, I don't know if I'll be able to see it in theaters, which is disappointing because it seems like a fun movie to see in theaters.
Even with Lightyear, when I knew we weren't going to do a normal show that week, I canceled my tickets even though I wanted to see it because I was like, I don't have time. I can spend this time doing something else, you know, going to the movie theater.
Yeah. Seems like I'm the only one that gets to actually go to the theater at least two or three times a week because I'll pretty much watch anything if it's
lucky bastard.
I know. Well, yeah, I am fortunate.
I wish I had that time.
I work super early and I work super late, but I have big chunks of the day that are empty. Speaking of Adrian Brody, I know we're going slightly off kilter here. Has anyone else seen his film Clean?
No, mm-hmm. I don't think I've even heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Check out the trailer. I was fortunate enough to watch it. It's actually just come out here. It's very much in the vein of Leon and films like that where you have a hitman that's left the business and John Wick and all those. So it's a cross between a serious version of it and
John Wick.
kind of. And he's suffering from some mental issues as well at the same time as him getting out of the game, so to speak. But it's got a slow second act. But the reason why I mention it is because he's fucking awesome in it. It's really, really quite a powerful film. Be warned, it is quite slow in the middle, but the beginning and the end, the bookends of the film are actually really worth watching. It's called Clean. And it's just been released on the big screen here. I'm not sure where you guys get it.
So it's brand new.
Yeah, well, check out the trailer at least. There's something that you might want to catch if you get the chance. But but he's awesome in that. So I agree with the cast. That's why I mentioned it, Nick, because he's one that looks like he's offed originally, right? He looks like he's the first person to be killed based on the trailer.
Yeah. That seems like he gets lots of screen time because it seems like they flash back a lot.
Yeah.
We it's had interesting a fight to me because Adrian Brody is an interesting actor for me because I remember when he was cast in Predators back in like 2009 or 2010, whatever that was. And I was just like, really?
What the fuck? Yeah.
What the fuck? And then I saw him in that movie and I was like, oh, I'm kind of scared of him. I buy it. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how I bought him as someone to be scared of. It also reminded me of that one guy from the Watchmen show, the mirror faced guy, whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't remember
that guy at the moment. I could see him as like a creepy, I guess, serial killer, but not like as an intimidating force.
Didn't he also play the new Freddy Krueger in the new Nightmare on Elm Street?
No, that was God, what was his name? No, that you're talking about Rorschach, right? The guy who plays Rorschach. I was talking about the Watchmen TV series.
Oh, I apologize.
Rorschach light character. Like
I guess he was kind of like
light. Yeah, doesn't he eat a can of beans in one part?
That's from the Watchmen TV series or movie.
I thought he did in the TV series too, but anyway,
oh, does he? I don't remember.
I can't remember. They definitely drew a lot of parallels.
But I just remember he scared me. Like, he scared me, and Adrian Brody scared me. Two people who, if you had asked me, hey, can you, Jackie Earle Haley, by the way, Kyle put, is the person that you're talking about, Danny. Yeah, and I'm talking about, he played the Thinker in The Incredible Hulk, or soon to be the Thinker. And he's in a lot of Coen Brothers movies as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Brother. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Was the first thing I saw him in. So then seeing him in
Oh, The Leader, not The Thinker. The Leader. Sorry, Kyle.
Kyle with all the corrections.
So this is why we need Kyle. He's going to beep out the F words. Fuck, fuck, fuck. And, there goes. And he's going to add us. He's going to add the things that we fuck up on. There's a fourth beep.
Before we move on from Adrian Brody, I still want to recommend The Brothers Bloom, which is Rian Johnson's movie feels like it could be in the same universe as Knives Out. It's him and Ruffalo star in it. It's a very delightful. That one's actually very Wes Anderson-y, Rian Johnson movie. Tim Blake, Tim Nelson Blake was who we were talking about with as far as The Watchmen and The Leader. Or Leader.
Did we ever talk about, and I may have been gone, but did y'all talk about the Knives Out title?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Or was it the week we missed? It
probably was a week I missed, so I was just curious, yeah.
All right, on to another trailer. Harley Quinn, season 3. Have you guys watched Harley Quinn the first two seasons in their entirety?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you haven't yet?
No, because it's not on a platform service that I can get. And I think it's one of the first things that, when we were talking about Batman many moons ago, the animated stuff, when you guys are recommending the shows that we should watch. And then I think that's when Harley Quinn first came out and you recommended it. And I do love the character, but I still haven't seen any of it. So I actually avoided this trailer.
Okay.
Because I'm desperate to actually watch it cold. And I know there's not necessarily spoilers. I know the kind of show it is.
It's kind of spoilers.
Believe it or not, Harley Quinn is a show that you can actually spoil.
Oh, in that case, then I did a good...
This whole season 3 has a new element to it. Yeah. So we won't discuss the spoilers about it. I found
it. I don't worry too much about that, but you tell me what.
I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. Also,
yeah, we're not going to spoil anything huge. I mean, other than
it looks hilarious, like normal. They're doing the whole The Boys thing. I mean, a lot of shows are doing that now.
What does that mean?
Where like they advertise. I was going to give me a chance to fucking explain. Where it's like raunchier, more violent. Like
it's
I would
always
want
been this way though.
No, I know, but like. That's the way The Boys is always advertised. Like
you can't, you can't act like The Boys capitalize on raunchy superhero things. It's been done before.
I didn't say it capitalize on it. Just The Boys is what I've been watching, and that's like even online, their amazing Twitter campaign. They're always like, "This episode's gonna like blow your fucking mind," and it's a trend among these grosser is the wrong word, but superhero shows that take it farther.
Oriented superhero shows.
And I wonder if even Peacemaker season 2 we'll see advertising like that. But I almost think James Gunn wouldn't capitalize on that part. Just be like, hey, more Peacemaker. I don't even need to say if it's grosser or more violent. You're going to watch it.
And but speaking of James Gunn.
Oh, he's in the trailer.
James Gunn's in this trailer as himself.
And Clayface turns into a chair and he's like, James Gunn, sit on me. I'm pretty sure James Gunn does voice James Gunn in it.
Oh, yeah. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Because he even retweeted it. It was like, yeah, this was a lot of fun. So what'd you think overall, Jammer? I don't think I asked you. I think I went first.
No, it's great. When HBO Max first came out and we weren't quite sure what the fate was of DC Universe, this was one of the shows where I was like, come on, Harley Quinn, bring out Harley Quinn.
Put it on HBO Max.
And they finally did. And we blew through it over the course of a week or two, which, you know, as you know, I don't do that. I don't binge shows. And the fact that I binge this show is just indicative of how fucking good it is. It's not just funny and raunchy, but it's also just really great with its characters and the way they develop and evolve
like
over time.
Even they use the cheesy like Bane voice in this, Danny. They go for the Batman Dark Knight Rises parody of the voice where he's like, I am this credit card's reckoning. And they like tries to cut it apart, just like shit like that.
No, but it's not just funny. Like I said, it does great work with the characters of Harley Quinn. James Gunn-ish, though in a different way.
Yeah,
and that's the way I can always characterize James Gunn, is like taking reprehensible characters and making you actually care about them in a way that feels genuine, and not just I like him because he's funny, but I like him because there are genuine aspects about this character that are not redeemable, but relatable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just fantastic.
Some other strengths, Danny, without spoiling it, is Jim Gordon's a drunk, but he's always like, I'm a damn good cop. And he's played by Christopher Maloney. Diedrich Bader voices Batman. He's done Batman in some other series. Giancarlo Esposito voices Lex Luthor. And it's a lot of fun. You get a lot. Yeah. Like Ron Funch is a comedian, voices King Shark. And yeah, it's just fun. She has her own little team, which is like Clayface and King Shark, and Poison Ivy's the main character. And she's dating Kite Man in like the first season. Kite Man, hell yeah, that's what that comes from. So,
and Alan Tudyk plays
Clayface. Yeah, he plays Clayface, that's correct. I almost forgot to bring him up, mostly because I can't pronounce his name.
I like how I scared you into saying names that you don't know. You're like, I don't know how to pronounce that name, so I'm gonna just try to avoid pronouncing it as much as possible.
For a moment I forgot he was in it, though I did read the cast, which is on the YouTube thing before we started. And now it's time for a special edition of the Ezra Miller Report. This is not new things.
I wish he had a quote that we can use at the end of the sound, like, and then like him yelling something. I don't know what he would
fucking
yell.
Ezra Miller.
He never says that. I'm trying to think what he
no,
could say.
No, but that would be great. Ezra Miller have to choke a bitch. But this is not new news, but I think it's coming to light. This happened back in 2020 when he was shooting, basically during the hiatus of Crimes of Grindelwald.
Grindelwald,
Harry Potter names. So these days I have trouble with Star Wars names, Harry Potter names, and especially Star Trek names. I can still do Star Wars the best out of those three. Marvel names, no problem half the time. But so this news mostly comes from Iceland during a hiatus on Fantastic Beasts 2. This is when Miller 27 started to show a different violent side. Yeah, this article is from, it's a pretty extensive article from Variety, and it's going to have a lot of names I can't pronounce, so I'm going to avoid some of them. Mostly, like, I'm not going to say the name of the bar. Anyway,
them and I'll correct them.
He frequented a bar in Iceland at Prikjo. Sounds right.
Keep going. I don't not familiar with the name or the language, so I can't really say anything. Not gonna lie.
So Carl Srenner, a bartender at Prikjo Kafasas, a pub located at the heart of Reykjavik. These are the worst. I'm all savoring saying
you
them
sound wrong. You're like saying it like an aggressive German accent.
I am. he actually had two interactions at the same bar that were fairly negative, but kind of the stuff he'd been doing in Hawaii. Nothing extreme is what we talked about last week. First, he got into a fight with another patron. He put him into a chokehold and later slapped him. Reiner, who broke up the fight. What? He had him in a chokehold, and I'm sure he's like slapping him.
Yeah, I know. Just the visual of this like aggressive chokehold, and then
But afterwards, the patron quickly shrugged it off as a joke. The actor was allowed to continue frequenting the bar. Reiner's quote is, "We just brushed it off as two friends getting drunk and getting in a fight. It's Iceland. This happens twice a week." I just love that quote. But then his second interaction at the same place, which there is a blurry video of, Miller is seen confronting a woman and smiling and waving her arms as she walks toward him and asking, "Do you want to fight? Is that what you want to do?" And then he grabs her neck and she lets out an audible gasp. The person filming the video stopped to intervene.
This was the old one. This is like the first video that we saw of Miller a couple of years ago.
But this is like all these, some of these are more people coming forward as sources. Because
that was the first video that made us think, what's that all about?
I don't
about?
Think we heard about the choke. We don't think we've heard about the chokehold in the week before or previous.
No, but the one with the video of him that you just described, we've heard that.
So we really don't have to talk about that one more. But the last one's the most weird. Let's see. Okay. So there was... okay, so Nadia requested her last name was left out so that Nick didn't have to pronounce it. No, it's because she didn't want to be identified. She had friendly text messages with Miller. This was in Berlin, and she invited him over to her apartment. I'm gonna try to be more careful than we were last week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've also.
Oh, and she does a good job. She talks about. He started getting aggressive and touching everything in her house and throwing tobacco leaves on the floor. And that just set them off, Nadia said. I asked them to leave about 20 times, maybe more. They started insulting me. I'm a transphobic piece of shit. I'm a Nazi. It became so, so stressful for me. They were going around my house, looking at everything, touching everything, spraying tobacco leaves on the floor. It felt disgusting and very intrusive. I felt totally unsafe. And she called the police. And, you know, I don't think they actually arrested him. He may have already been gone. But there are 5 people, 2 friends and a women's rights activist, a German social worker, and Nadia's German lawyer all are her sources who confirm that it happened. Yeah, and he wasn't arrested because that just a month after she saw news reports that he had been arrested in Hawaii, which would have been our more recent. Interviews, you know, just more recent Ezra Miller stuff. The article still goes on to say that Warner Brothers is not going to do anything with The Flash, as we kind of discussed. They're going to release it in theaters at the original signed date, but it's likely anyone will work with him again in Hollywood because he's just kind of an imploding star. Both uses of the word star. So any surprises?
No. Zero surprises. No surprises whatsoever.
And it sounds like the beginning of the behavior at a time when maybe Warner Brothers should have been paying more attention. Though, again, we've discussed that bar fights aren't quite the same as taking hostages or not leaving women's house or having guns laying around a farm that kids have access to. But I just love the quote where he's like, this is Iceland. It happens like twice a week.
I mean, I will say, like, as far as the not leaving the woman's house, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's the worst of the
scary
3. And that was your Ezra Miller report. I'm fucking Ezra Miller. I mean, that's not... So I believe if my order is not incorrect, our next story is about Christian Bale and why he would return for Batman. First of all, he has a quote with Screen Rant, which is where the article was found. No. Yeah, Screen Rant, which is where I pulled up the article from. First, he was asked if he was, this is part of the Thor junket, where another interesting thing he said is he prefers playing the villain to playing Batman because he gets to have more fun. And he's like, this isn't part of the story, but he's like, Chris Hemsworth has to do all the hard work. I just have to show up and be like a baddie. But this quote is, they ask him if he's, you know, we have a lot of Batmen coming back. For The Flash and projects Bat like my. That. Batmite. But so they asked him if he was approached to be a part of The Flash or a similar project with Danny's favorite subject, a multiverse over at DC. Don't worry, I have a positive multiverse story next. I picked it only because you hate them so much because it's... Oh, we'll get there. I'm not going to do a Christian Bale accent because it'll just throw off my brain. Oi! No one's ever mentioned it to me. That's how I would get into it. No, that's how you would get into it in Dungeons and Dragons. It's oi, right?
That's what I do, yeah.
Yeah, I just say oi because there have been lots of memes from the boys with oi because, like, Billy Butcher deserves...
Hey, I did it
delivers
first.
One of his strongest, yeah.
I did it first. I don't did know if
you
first,
did it before like, season one. You did it before as a meme. I don't know if you did it before season one of the boys. Spoiler alert, you didn't.
I didn't.
But then again, I don't think he invented the word oi either.
I feel like the word "oi" is like my pitch pipe for jumping into a specific type of British accent. It's not a good pitch pipe, but it is a pitch pipe.
for those who don't know, which is everyone, we play Star Wars Dungeons and Dragons, and Jammer's character is British. So before every sentence he says, "Oi," like he said, to get into the accent.
Yeah.
So no one's ever mentioned it to me. No one's brought it up. Occasionally people say to me, "Oh, I heard you were approached and offered all this." And I'm like, that's news to me. No one's ever said it that. And he said, "I had a pact with Chris Nolan. We said, hey, look, let's make 3 films if we're lucky enough to get to do that. And then let's walk away. Let's not linger too long." In my mind, it would be something if Chris Nolan ever said himself, "You know what? I've got another story to tell and wish to tell that story with me." I'd be in. What do you, would you guys want to see another Batman story from him? Like maybe even a more truer version of Dark Knight Returns or something. Like I say, wait another decade or two and then bring back Christian Bale Batman. Or are we happy with who we got right now?
I mean, would be the only way for me that it would work is if you waited at least another 10 years and he came back as the old Batman. That's the only way. And that's not saying that that's what I want, but that would be the only way I think you could get that to work and be have people interested in it. Right now, I'm just happy to have the new Batman. What's his name? Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson.
I want to see more of that right now. No, I'm fucking over that. I'm not excited by that whatsoever. But Robert Pattinson, I want to see more of that right now. All this talk of Christian Bale being Batman again, I think it's just because it was a... you know, everything that's going on with DC at the moment. But yeah, if you had to ask me in 10 years time and someone said Nolan was going to make a version of that movie, then yeah, I could see that working. But now, no.
Yeah, I don't think they would ever want to do it. I mean, I think the audience would be there for it, definitely. But I definitely would at least wait until Robert Pattinson is done, because I don't think you want to have too many separate Batman stories running at once.
I mean, the only other one I would like to see is if we are talking in 10 or 15 years time, I'd like to see Ben Affleck come back and play that role rather than Christian Bale. But
I agree with you. That's interesting. Kind of an even older Batman, because he's already a pretty old Batman who's like seen shit, at least the way he's betrayed. And he is older than Christian Bale by quite a bit. But Jammer, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, what was the question again? Besides, what are my thoughts about what specifically about
coming back?
Oh yeah, coming back. I don't need it. I'm not against it, but I don't really need it. Like, if you were to come out tomorrow and be like, "Hey, we're coming back for another story," I would just be like, "Okay, well, it must be something pretty cool then." So sure. By no means against it. I'm not particularly excited by it, but like I said, if it were to happen tomorrow, I might start to get excited about it because of the possibilities and the fact that those two, neither Bale nor Nolan, would come back unless it was something that they at least felt was exceptional. So on that level, sure. I don't really care about having too many Batman. We already have too many Batman. So what the fuck's another? Who cares?
That's true.
Who cares at this point?
But I agree. I would dig the idea of coming back 10 years later, though. I'd rather see Affleck come back 10 years later. Yeah, I mean, this is just one of the questions he gets asked every time he's at an interview. It's not like he was providing a quote without someone being like, "Hey, are you going to play Batman again?" This is him being like, "The only reason I would is if Nolan asked me, because we said we'd do 3. But
I just love his comments earlier, last week, I think they were, where someone was like, "Oh, how does it feel to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?" He's like, "I'm in what? No, I'm not." And it's just like, yeah, you are, dude. He's like, His basically like, "Oh, I didn't sign up for being in a universe." Like, yeah, you did. Sorry, Christian Bale. You just don't know. You just don't know or understand what you signed up for, but you're in the MCU. Sorry. It is what it is.
He probably won't live past one movie anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, he probably won't. But I just think, like, regardless of how he feels about what he signed up for, he signed up for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And that's why this kind of next story comes into play. This is why the reason I picked this story is because I knew Danny would like it. Taika Waititi, director of Thor, player of Korg.
I'm liking it so far. I'm enjoying it so far.
Was asked.
Good. Yep.
Was asked if the multiverse will be a part of Thor: Love and Thunder,
and he said quote, no. That's fucking stupid.
His quote was, and this is with Total Film Magazine's original article, or Carrie Revy. He's like, "We've got nothing like the multiverse in this film. This is the singular verse." This is the exact quote.
No confuddling nonsense from a Marvel film, although we've been duped before. They say shit and even show stuff in the trailers that doesn't actually happen in the film. So I don't know whether I believe him or not, but I really hope it's true. I really hope it's a self-contained film that has links to whatever big plan they're
and like Guardians and
five, but without bringing in multiple versions of different characters from different universes and different planes and stuff like that. But we had a little bit of a chat on it on the Discord channel about the, you know, we already have the realms. You already explained the nine realms.
I think it's nine realms.
That's enough. That's always been part of Norse mythology and all that kind of stuff. That was enough. So I'm happy about this, but I'm not too sure just exactly how true it is. I guess we'll wait and see. And I know the script is online somewhere, but I've avoided it. I believe him
just because I assume this movie would always be separate. Like, it doesn't look like there's any need for it. We're going to start off with the Guardians and Thor, where we left off with Endgame, and then we'll have female Thor and Natalie Portman, or just Thor. In the comics, she starts going by Thor, and he starts going by Odinson. But, yeah.
I've got a feeling, knowing Taika and the way he does it, I'm sure he'll play with that thing you just said about them, Odin and Thor. I'm sure they're going to play with that. I'm sure they'll call each other Thor for fun, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think it'll be really funny.
But I don't think it'll flip for the film. I think it'll be something that they'll reference because that's quite a big part of the comics. But Carl has just given us Mighty Thor. Is that for Natalie Portman's Thor, Carl? Yeah. So she'll be the Mighty Thor and he'll be the less Mighty Thor.
The normal yeah. Thor.
Minor Thor.
Thormal.
A minor Thormal. Thor. Oh no, that's Greek. Minor Thor. That's Greek mythology, isn't it? A minor Thor. Isn't that the one that's in the maze? That's a minor Thor.
Jammer, thoughts yeah, about I'm, this I'm not good. Being part being part of the multiverse.
Well, I'm sorry to say it is a part of the multiverse. They just don't reference the multiverse in this movie.
Yeah, but so not having to deal with that stuff in this, unlike the last two Marvel movies we've seen.
So there, it's kind of interesting. So let me think of how to best explain this in my head here. So it's kind of two-sided because for the longest time, people have been complaining that this doesn't contribute, the movies aren't moving things forward enough to the point of making it interesting through line. So this seems to basically just drive home. This is a complete side thing that won't really push anything forward. However, as I think I mentioned last week, the main reason people are feeling that way is because the movies as standalones just haven't been intriguing enough for us to want more from the main storyline. Yep. So the hope here is that in its singular verse, as he called it, in its singular verse state, is this an interesting enough movie by itself that we won't just be craving that multiverse connection? Hopefully the answer is yes.
I feel it will be. I trust Taika a lot. I actually watched Jojo Rabbit with my roommate last night. He had never seen it. And, you know, he's just a talented filmmaker, which, yeah, yep. That's a dark one for him too. And a weird one. Yeah. He plays Hitler. But New Zealand Hitler.
God, that moment with the hanging legs. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so, yeah, wow. So even though powerful. That film was pretty dark up to that was a real gut buster. That one, I was not expecting that. Even though it was dark, it's not like it was pretended to be anything else. But when that came along, it's like, holy shit. Okay, now we get the serious tones here. But a great film. I'm trusting him too. I think there will be links to the bigger story in this film, but maybe they won't be as prolific. But the film, I've got high hopes for. I think I'm going to really enjoy it. Tickets already booked. Next Thursday, we've got tickets for it.
Same. So
next Thursday, we'll be watching it.
And Kyle and I will be covering it on tickets. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem because we have our tickets for Thursday afternoon.
Awesome.
And we'll be hopping on after that. Well, I guess that'll be a Friday episode of Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. I think because Miss Marvel will still be going, next week. So I think we've
two more episodes. Jammer, will you be able to watch it before we record next week? Are you with us next week, buddy?
Awesome. I think so. Yeah.
And next week, I probably will not be here because it's Prime Day.
God damn it.
Prime Day.
Gotta get down on Prime Day. God damn, that's like a 12-year-old song. Jesus Christ, I'm old.
We're so old. I saw like it was the 17th anniversary of some movie yesterday, and I was like, oh my god. Like,
was it Toy Story 4?
No. I would feel really bad.
Or of, you know, the Black Widow movie, 17-year anniversary of the Black Widow movie.
Sure feels like it.
Yeah, I know. There's been a lot of
longest time ever. Well, no, I'm not even saying that. It's just time is slow.
It's because we're getting, slow or long or short. Time is short.
Time is, I don't know. It's felt longer because of the pandemic and stuff, I feel, these last few years.
Both longer and shorter. Longer and shorter.
If it's a good time or a bad time. Good times feel shorter, the bad times feel longer. I think that's this life.
This is very interesting philosophical bullshit. Let's move on.
Yeah, I know. All right. I was going to say, we're just saying nothing for like 2 minutes.
That's our thing. We're rocking through the stories pretty fast, which I'm happy about. So the Russo brothers, tying it back to Thor and the Guardians, have their most recent project set up in Netflix for $200 million, which is what it was going to cost at Universal. And the main news, though, I'll get into the plot in a little bit, because it actually comes, it's actually one of the short stories from Tales from the Loop, which was an Amazon show, if I'm not mistaken, that I watched all of. I think that was Tales from the Loop. It's just a bunch of short stories that are like futuristic and kind of usually have like a dark message to them, or, you know, kind of like,
sounds like Twilight Zone,
kind of like Twilight Zone or Black Mirror. And sometimes they're connected in some way. But it's Netflix is, you know, it's gonna, of course, it'll be directed by the Russo brothers, just like The Gray Man. And unlike Cherry, it's going to be written by Marcus and McFeely. They're the writers that they've worked with since Winter Soldier and say they want to work with for the rest of their lives. Because I believe that's a lot of people don't like Cherry. I haven't seen it, but I believe part of the problem there was not having expert writers, and hopefully The Gray Man
they had expert writers, they just,
well, I mean, but like their writers, their writers who made two great Avengers movies, two great Captain America movies, and we'll see with The Gray Man if they can do as well without the Marvel brand, more original stories. The main news, this movie called The Electric State, the main news is that Bobby Millie Brown is going to be their lead.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Too many names. She is going to hot off Stranger Things, which I'll be watching right after the show.
I love how you messed up like the most basic series.
She has
names,
too many names. Like, the order.
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown. But I'm sorry, what about her? She's in the movie, right? That's what you're
saying. She's the star, and they're trying to get Chris Pratt as the other lead. Who, of course, is someone they've worked with before. So we already said who's writing. The cost isn't cheap. It was gonna be $200 million at Universal, according to sources. The project adopts the acclaimed 2018 illustrated novel by Simon Stahlhag, the writer artist who also created Tales from the Loop. So no, it isn't one of the stories from Tales from the Loop. It's the same guy. The story centers on an orphan teenager, Brown, who traverses an American West that is reminiscent of a retro future, with a sweet but mysterious robot and an eccentric drifter in search after her younger brother. So it sounds like Chris Pratt would be the eccentric drifter, which sounds like a Chris Pratt role to me. And so, is there any excitement for this? Are you guys excited to see her in something other than Godzilla versus Kong and Stranger Things?
I'm really going to blow your mind here for a second. Can you believe that she's not going to be a teenager really soon? I feel fucking old, because you mentioned she plays a teenager. I'm like, it's not going to be much longer before she plays full adult. That's going to be like a year or two. Maybe she'd play one. No, probably not now. Probably still. But then again, Tom Holland is like, what, 28? And he plays a teenager still.
Is that old? So maybe now? I guess it took him a while to make them, because Tom Holland started before he was 20.
Yeah, I think he actually started at Civil War before he was 18, if I recall correctly. They had to worry about labor laws because of
him.
Yeah. How many hours he could spend on set and et cetera. Yes, I remember that.
Exactly. So I don't think he was, I think he's maybe 25 or 26. So maybe I'm exaggerating here. 26, according to Kyle. It's not very, very long until she like is legitimate. Well, I guess she is a legitimate adult. She's 18 years old now. So that's crazy. She's no longer a teenager,
basically.
Now you
just made me feel old.
Just yeah, like, I feel
now
old.
You've said 18. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's weird watching Stranger Things. We'll get into that a little bit later, but how old everybody is in that show. They're all old.
And they all pretend it's only been a year. That's such a weird plot point. They didn't like say it's been several years.
It's it's been like, it was 1 year since it was made, since season three was made. But you know,
yeah, because they're like, it was a year ago. There was a disaster at the mall, or the fire at the mall, or whatever the cover up is. You're like, that was a year ago, really? But
something like that would age you, right? That an experience like that would put the years on you. That would be the arguing point. Yeah, that was a traumatic experience that they all went through. So I'm sure physically they've aged 5 years, even though mentally
that must be it. That's it. That's great job.
It's the same thing with Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine, and Aunt Beru, and everyone who looks like they're still 30. They have like 30 years.
Like how old are they? How old are they in Tatooine years? It has nothing to do with, you know, how it spins, the earth spins, the world spins, but everything to do with just the life conditions of living on Tatooine.
Yeah, that's what Danny said last time. There's two suns.
Two suns. Brutal. That really won't be good for your skin. It really wouldn't be.
But overall, I'm really excited for this movie. I wasn't as excited for Cherry. Didn't see Cherry. It just looked too damn serious for my taste. Looked really depressing.
It wasn't good.
You didn't like it, Danny?
I probably won't watch it, even though I have Apple TV Plus. I haven't yet. So
there's lots of other stuff to watch on Apple TV Plus.
Hell yeah.
So much good stuff on there.
Agreed.
Except for Cherry, apparently.
I'm sure there's other bad stuff on there too.
But. No, there isn't. It's all good.
Very rare. Very rare. That's their one miss out of all the hits. Or well, certainly the one I've watched anyway.
Yeah. Ready to move on to our second to last story? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with Jam on this one. This one's got me a lot more excited looking at the people that are in front of the camera and behind it. It all looks good to me. I look forward to this one. Wait till that first trailer.
Like I said, we'll get a better feel for how well they do outside of Marvel with The Gray Man, which I'm very excited for.
We've got that on the big screen in a couple of weeks' time.
I think
it's obviously the same release date, but we got it on the big screen. I see it's a Netflix movie.
Yeah, and Netflix has been doing that, especially at like places like the Alamo Drafthouse. And I believe they're giving Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, a 45-day window.
But Gray Man does look like a movie that it deserves to be on the big screen. Certainly, you know, with the talent involved and what they've done spectacle wise, action wise, etc. So I'll be watching that definitely. But if I've got the choice, I'll go to the big screen for that one for sure.
I think I would too, depending on as long as I had time. Like I said, sometimes Netflix is just more convenient. I don't have to get there at a certain time. I can choose what time I want to watch it. I don't have to drive anywhere, you know, get in my seat early.
I've changed my tune in recent years. I'm all about the theater experience now, as expensive as it is, because it's easy just to be distracted at home.
Yeah.
You know, and then my dog just starts like playing with his toys and going rah, 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 like next to me as he sees, you know, his girlfriend outside in the neighbor's yard and he wants to be let out and then he wants to be let back in. He's cheating on Foley. Yeah. He met the other dog first. Foley is his side piece.
Foley is a dog that he hangs out with a lot during Dungeons and Dragons.
For anyone. Yeah, he is a dog.
Speaking like of seeing movies at theaters, Tom Cruise just had his first film to pass $1 billion. And this is only the second film to do so besides Spider-Man after the pandemic. So Top Gun Maverick, which actually made it back to IMAX because of a petition, crossed $1 billion internationally, making his highest grossing film. And I think his highest grossing film internationally is Mission Impossible Fallout. His biggest opening weekend was War of the Worlds. But, you know, like I said, a lot of his movies have legs because they're, you know, I love them, but mostly the audience is older than me for these movies. Like, you know, it's the one franchise my dad's like, yeah, let's go. I think my dad's done with Marvel at this point. But he's
such a dad movie. Top Gun Maverick is such a dad movie.
I know. If it wasn't for the pandemic, my parents not even eating indoors restaurants, I would be like, Dad, we're going to Top Gun. Like,
oh, he hasn't seen Top Gun yet.
No, he won't until it hits home video or Paramount Plus or wherever, because they don't go to the movie theaters. They don't go inside to eat. I guess this is a big surprise to me based on what I thought it could do early on, but lately with the numbers it's been doing, it's not a surprise.
Are you on the record?
Go on.
Are you on the record saying how much you thought it would make? Did we ever talk about that? I don't think
no,
we did,
but... it's just you don't expect a lot from what I call delayed sequels, because most of them aren't even that good. So like, and it's just like it hasn't been a huge, huge franchise. Like, because obviously,
I mean, it's been one movie like 30 years ago.
I mean, also, like, it's not even like his most known movie either. It's one of his top most known movies. He's done stuff like Jerry Maguire, you know, Mission Impossible is his big franchise. He's worked with Spielberg twice. He also has like, it's bigger than like Risky Business or something, which is from the same time period. But I just didn't think a franchise that old and an actor who's generally not that popular with a lot of people would reach such heights. Mm. Pun intended.
I mean, he is popular. He's one of three existing movie stars today.
I would agree, where his name is almost more important than the franchise.
Yeah,
I'm with Jam. I think he's one of the true last movie stars. You know, there's certain aspects of his private life, which is his private life, that might raise an eyebrow here and there. But
I don't know. He may have disappeared some people too. So I don't know.
Well, they went up to the spaceship, but ultimately I think he's one of the last remaining movie stars. He really is. He really is that kind of the name above the movie, but he does a great job every time. He's one of those, sounds cliche, but you never feel that he's giving a half-assed performance, even if the movies themselves aren't for everyone or that good. You get the feeling that he always gives 100%. He does it because he really fucking loves it. He's a good-looking guy. He's looked after himself. He's made, you know, countless films. The biggest surprise for me is when you said it's his first movie after over a billion.
Right.
Looking back on it, I think, it makes sense because a lot of his films are not necessarily big ones. But I don't know. I mean, maybe look at Minority Report, but that must be 20 years old now as well, right? That was the big Spielberg one in the world. Right?
So, and it didn't even gross as much as War of the Worlds. I don't think Minority Report. It's just a beloved classic.
The inflation thing. There's more screens now. IMAX cost more. IMAX, the tickets cost more. IMAX screens, there's more screens available.
Yeah.
What's really pleased me about it is that it is a standalone film. Yes, it was based on a film 30 years ago, but it really was and is a great go to the cinema, go to the big screen to watch it film. It's been awesome. I think people have really enjoyed seeing this kind of movie and had a really good time with it, and getting people out on that big screen again. I think it's what the big screen's for, is films like this. And Marvel has been disappointing, but a film like this stands on its own. Well, apart from that,
The filmmaking in No Way Home was disappointing. Like the story was good and it was fun, but like there are several shots in there where they're like on the rafters and like the Statue of Liberty, and it very much just looks like they're on a shitty soundstage.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm watching it for a third time this weekend because I want to watch it again before it leaves the big screen.
I just got to break in here and say Jammer's watching movies wrong.
Hey. I'm just saying, I didn't ruin the movie for me, but it was noticeable. And when we talk about theater experiences and actual good filmmaking, it does make a difference on that level, but it's still a good movie.
And said Kyle, who just this week on Marvel Multiverse Mayhem was criticizing where he could notice reshoots and CGI in Ms. Marvel.
It was annoying.
And I'm the one who shuts off my brain to those parts, right? Unless it's horribly bad, I don't notice. Like, I'm not here to critique the CGI. There are lots of times we've been watching a trailer and I'm like, CGI looks amazing. You guys are like, no, it doesn't.
I mean, I'll always remember back in 2001 when Fellowship of the Ring came out and they had that opening prologue and you have Sauron standing on a soundstage going, oh, it looks so cheesy. So bad.
Now it does.
No, it looked bad back then. It looked awful from day one.
Okay.
Or at least that's what I thought. Was I the only one who thought that?
I was a kid. I hadn't gotten to film school or paid much attention.
The moment where he was just standing and had like
his and he's like, and there's like fire below him.
Yeah, so. that looked bad from day one to me. But then again, I don't know, maybe I was weird.
Maybe. Well, you still are weird. So anyway, next story. Another one Danny will be very excited about. 007. Oh. When asked about when we'll get our next one, they say it'll be at the Barbara Broccoli. That's how I like to pronounce it. Who's been a James Bond producer for almost forever. I think it's Broccoli. Maybe Broccoli's right. I don't know. Revealed that it'll be at least 2 years before the next 007 movie even begins filming. And the task of finding an actor to replace Daniel Craig, hasn't begun because it's a reinvention of Bond. Nobody's in the running. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Nick. It's just because I've got work commitments for the next 18 months. That's why they've had to delay it. But as soon as I'm ready, we're going. We're playing the I'm playing the older version of Bond. Bond's
oh.
dad.
Oh,
Bond's dad.
So that's Jack probably Bond. Mr. Bond.
I call my dad Mr. Bond. I'm James.
Exactly. There you go.
It's always Sorry, Nick, like I'm Bond, James Bond.
I apologize.
No, you're good. So unfortunately for you, Danny, or maybe fortunately, nobody's in the running. So maybe you could be in the running.
Exactly. I've got as much chance as anybody else at the moment.
They wouldn't reveal it. They have to make sure he's kept a secret.
Well, here's the real reason they're saying we're working out where to go with him. We're really talking it through. There isn't a script and we can't come up with one until we decide how we're going to approach the next film, because really it's a reinvention of Bond. We're reinventing who he is, and that takes time. I'd say that filmmaking is at least 2 years away. How do you guys feel about a reinvent? Obviously, they've been slowly just reinventing him, making him less sexist, have sex with less characters, be less of a misogynist. But how much do you think they will reinvent the character for, like, as culture is moving forward and we're thankfully not as accepting as, you know, Sean Connery, like, banging, like, three Bond girls a movie and naming them, like, Octopussy and Pussy Galore?
Yeah, I think waiting. Sorry, Jammer. You go ahead, buddy.
No, go. You're already in
full flow.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I think waiting 2 or 3 years is the right move. I mean, it was such a great finale to Daniel Craig's Bond, and because of, obviously, spoiler alert, I mean, if you haven't seen the film yet, he dies at the end. How much they reinvent the character, they do need to take their time about, because if they reinvent, for want of a better word, too much, then it ceases to become James Bond and it may as well just be another British spy. And we've had many of those and many iterations of them. So I would appreciate that they don't alter the character too much and keep it quintessentially James Bond. You know, the sleeping with people, et cetera, wasn't really, it's not really the problem. It's how those people that he was sleeping them. With are those characters well how he treats them yes but it's how those characters were written. They were written as throwaway non-characters basically that had no backstory or anything. So if he sleeps with five or six different women in the movie, as long as those characters, whether they be male or female, have some sort of character arc, for want of a better word, have some sort of input, have some sort of meaning, then that can be done. Now, he's not going to sleep with five or six people, but it's more about those secondary characters, how they were written in past Bond films, not necessarily how James Bond treated them, although certain movies had them treating bad. But at the end of the day, he's a spy that had to get shit done. So him hitting a woman, for example, I forget which movie that was, it may have been Dr. No. That's okay. Yeah, you don't want to see that, but we've seen far worse male on female violence in many movies since. And you have to look at it in the context of the story. If he's saving the world from nuclear, whatever the story is, then you're like, well, yeah, you're going to have to do anything and everything, right? But it needs to have some sort of context to it, and it needs to be written in such a way that doesn't make it just for the sake of being misogynistic or a wife beater, for want of a better word. So I guess what I want is to keep quintessentially James Bond, the character that was written by him and for him and who he is. But yes, we need to reinvent how that looks, how that character looks in modern society. But that doesn't mean to say we have to completely change who James Bond is or who the character is. Just that we'd be a bit more careful about how the characters around him are written. So I think waiting 2 or 3 years is absolutely fine. We've got enough stuff coming up without squeezing in a James Bond film every couple of years. So take the time with it. You know, so I'm happy for that.
You're saying he can't switch from martinis to white Russians. That would be part of destroying the character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, those are the things that are more comical and stuff. Yeah, you can have him drinking. You know, you can't take away him being an alcoholic because he is, the character is an alcoholic, but that doesn't have to be part of the story. It doesn't have to be part of something we need to see every film, is him having a drink or drinking too much. That's not important whether that's in or out. So yeah, that's my take on it. I look forward to it, but yeah, take your time. No rush.
Jammer.
So I'm more intrigued about what they do with him. I'm kind of disappointed that Kingsman came out already, because I feel like Kingsman could have been a perfect direction in that it is still, it's not quite campy. It's not quite cheesy. It leans into the tropes, but it's just really, really fun. Whereas like the last Bond was very much dark, gritty, realistic, grounded-ish. Whereas I wish they can go cartoony, but with an edge. And I think that would have been a good way to go. You know, maybe they still can go, but still keep it PG-13. But I think that could be a natural way where it's not like, you know, the old cheesy ones, but it's not quite as serious as the new ones. I think some in between would be good.
Yeah, agree.
That's what I want to see from him. As far as his character, I like how my mind went to freaking Austin Powers, where you literally just have a guy.
All those names, it's like Xena on the top.
Well, not just that, but like how you have a guy who one way you could go is just have this guy who's a complete dick,
relic misogynist,
relic of the past, and yet, you know, and basically the world just puts up with him because he's a good spy. But I mean, that's just a comedy. That's just Austin Powers, like basically. Yeah. So I don't think you could do that. But in my mind, that's kind of where it went, because it's, I don't know where to take him from here, but there are endless opportunities, but it is hard to make sure you're honoring what came before and that you're somehow having it a part of the character while still being, you know, have him not be a complete scumbag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting. They've already been getting better with that with the last two, No Time to Die and Quantum of Solace. No, the Spectre. Like he has his wife. I think she's the only one he sleeps with in the last two movies.
That's not true.
Did he sleep with someone else in the last one?
I think he slept with two other people. He slept with...
They didn't sleep with Ana de Armas. In fact, they made a joke about it.
Well, I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about two movies.
Monica Bellucci.
No. Spectre. Yeah, Monica Bellucci. He did.
That was in Spectre. Yeah?
Yeah.
That was in Skyfall.
Yeah. No. Spectre.
Okay. But that was before he met his wife. And that was for information. Like Danny brought up, that's a good point. A lot of the times he's doing it for information. Sometimes it's just like...
There's no other way. There's no other way. You have to fuck the information out of them. It's the way it works.
That's why I wanted to compare it to the Mission Impossible films, where Ethan Hunt has ever only had sex with his wife, and he legitimately loved the woman in the second movie, played by Thandie Newman. I think she changed her name back or something, because that's the name she's using in movies. And it's 2022, Kyle says. It isn't being promiscuous.
Oh, isn't it being a good thing? Oh, I mean, it can be.
Oh,
so once again, like as Danny so eloquently put it, it's not about him sleeping around. It's about him not being a dick.
Sometimes it's about him sleeping. To that earlier point. But I feel like I think every Pierce Brosnan movie ended with him sleeping with the main female character at the end. And there are a lot of Daniel Craig's one too. Like there's the one that the ends and they're like in a raft floating in the ocean or something. And it's like, what shall we do next? He's like, let me show you.
My favorite is Moonraker when he's attempting re-entry. Brilliant. What? Bond, what are you doing? Attempting re-entry, sir. Brilliant. Fucking genius.
So anything else on Bond, James? Oh, I will have one last thing on James Bond.
Well, you were in the middle of making a point that I think you lost.
Well, I was just comparing him to Ethan Hunt, and that his character has never had to be one that sleeps around, but he's the US Bond, and he'll, you know, I'll get it done. Like he always.
Well, that's, I think, the problem is you don't want him to feel too much like the other ones either. Cause mm-hmm. like, I mean, I love the Mission Impossible movies, but I don't think Ethan Hunt has any real character qualities to him.
Compared to Bond, absolutely.
Anyone. I couldn't name one thing about him. Name one thing that isn't just he does impossible missions and runs.
He's loyal to his team.
I mean, he's loyal to his team. It's
he let nuclear...
that's just the thing he did.
Devices escape in order to not shoot Luther.
Okay, so he's loyal. He's loyal. So you're saying he's loyal.
To a fault. I mean, they even make fun of him. Well, they kind of, it's like there's a line from Alec Baldwin in Fallout where he's like some people see that as a weakness. I see it as like your greatest strength. There's a line similar to that, that he's loyal to a fault.
He has loyalty to his team, but Bond has a loyalty to the greater team, which is always to Queen and Country. He has a loyalty to the job and to Queen and Country. So I think Jammer's right in the sense that there's nothing about Ethan Hunt's character that separates him other than being put into these impossible, seemingly impossible
humans.
And I would say the other thing is he's more of a he's more of a Captain America in just the way that he's loyal to
Captain America. Actually, has character.
No. I'm just saying that's one of his Danny bringing up loyalty to the queen and country. It's like, no, he's on the run half the time from his own government or fighting the CIA, like the CIA. They don't know who the bad guys are, the CIA or the syndicate in like one scene. And they're like, are they CIA or are they syndicate? When they get ambushed and they free the Solomon Lane. And he's like, does it matter? So anyway, no, I see what you're talking about. Jammer, but I love the hell out of those movies, obviously.
No, they're still great movies. I just think character development is not any of their strong suits. They don't go for it, and it's fine. So it's really hard for me to think about, to really compare, because he's not a character. He's just Tom Cruise in a vehicle for action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Same as Jack Bauer. So Jack Bauer plays the same Jack Bauer in all seasons of 24.
Like, he's all about torture.
Yeah, some seasons are better than others, but generally speaking, you watch it because you like a 24-hour. The 24 of the show, but Jack Bauer doesn't really change in any of them. He's the same.
He gets more depressed as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, he's like Tom Cruise character in that way. He loses more people as the movies or the TV seasons go on. But let's get into who watches the Watchers. Danny and I have both seen. Have you caught up on The Boys in Strange New Worlds, Danny? Are we both the penultimate episodes? Okay, yes, let's let Jammer go first in case. What have you been watching, Jammer? Because ours has spoilers.
Sure, sure. So mine, I got to see Lightyear this past weekend. And mentioned that you didn't see it, did you, Nick?
No,
you
haven't I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it, but tell me about it.
It's interesting because it is supposed to be what Andy saw for Toy Story. That's not it. It's not that. Sorry.
Obviously, that was just a way to describe it. Obviously.
No. That they actually say that in the text at the beginning. It's like in 1995, a boy named Andy saw a movie. This was that movie. No, it's not. It's just mostly because it's too grounded. It's too grounded. And this one, he's like an honorable Captain America type character.
Not a dummy.
Whereas in the other one, not an over the top space quote unquote ranger. You know, in this one, he's more of a grounded, he's a space ranger, but he's more like an astronaut, you know? Right. It just feels a lot more grounded than what the character ultimately became. Then again, you can argue that there was this grounded movie, and then merchandising ran with it and was just like, oh, let's make him this. And then they made extra things about it. And turned
Andy would have seen it from a kid's perspective, too. It just doesn't fit the personality of the toy.
It's not just Andy, though, because we saw the toys and the way they were marketed. We saw the toys and kind of what the embedded personality was in it. So it's a different buzz altogether. I don't think it's the same, but I could see the marketing being like, hey, there's an astronaut movie. Let's go hey, there's Ghostbusters. Let's make Ghostbusters cartoon. That really isn't anything like the Ghostbusters movie. I could see that kind of being the iteration of it, but it's not really that. It's a very interesting, very adult feeling story. And about, it's basically Interstellar for family audience in a way, where it's legitimately just about, I'll just give you the premise. The premise is they land on a planet, and because of an accident from Buzz, they are stranded on this planet.
His fault. Interesting.
It's his fault. And he's basically tries to fix it. In order to fix it, they need to have this specific crystal thing or whatever in order to hit light speed. But they need to test it. But every time he tests it, 4 years pass. And it's about him doing it constantly and time passing and passing and passing. And ultimately, the whole message about it is about living life versus living for a mission and all that. So that stuff, I think, is really good. The second half of the story isn't as strong. It's full of I thought stuff was fun, but I could see people not liking it, having to do with these secondary characters that come into it and really kind of bring in an extra bit of levity that almost feels like a different movie, kind of like how Wall-E feels like a specific way in the first half and the second half is another type of movie. It kind of feels similar to me in that sense. Still definitely worth watching. Still very entertaining. but I probably would consider it mid to mid upper tier Pixar level. It's definitely not like one of their strongest, but I'm happy they made it. And I think it's just an interesting exercise in creativity for them.
Is it ever try to be a tearjerker at moments, which Pixar has been doing
yes.
Almost every time?
I mean, honestly, when it came to the time dilation stuff, I thought that stuff was choking me up a bit.
Because he comes back and he doesn't know, like, his friends are dead and stuff.
Well, it's not one time. It's them doing it over time. Like, literally, he goes up.
Oh, he actually goes back
home. He does a mission. And then they send him around. And they age 4 years. Comes back 4 years later. Come back 4 years later.
That's interesting. So the trailer makes it look like he comes back once and then...
No, it's like dozens of times. So wow. He basically sees his friend, his only friend, to be honest, because he doesn't have a life, and basically grow up without him and live life without him.
That's so in that sense, sound a little bit like Captain America.
Yeah, a little bit like Chris Captain Evans America.
And the character part.
A little bit like Interstellar.
I don't like when you compare it to Interstellar. I don't like that movie. That's the only time I made a face when you were comparing it, like when you were describing it.
Which is
it,
funny,
like,
because to me, I love Interstellar. I thought Interstellar was great.
A lot of people do. I don't know why I'm. I just like the Matt Damon scene in that. Watching anything else, Jammer, before?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first episode of Stranger Things season 4, finally.
Oh, the first volume.
Yeah, first volume. Yeah. First episode of first volume. And I think I've realized I want to watch that show, like, one episode a day or every other day and just take
and
my
just
time
stay
with
off
it.
Twitter.
I mean, whatever. I they probably spoiled me, but I didn't notice. But overall, like, I think it's a lot of fun. I love that episode one basically felt like a slice of life for mm-hmm. the most part. And I was just there for it. Like, I loved getting back into it with these characters, kind of seeing where they were and having, like, their little mini arcs and stories play out over the course of like an hour plus long episode. And I just thought it's just so well done. Like, it's just pure character in a way that Netflix generally doesn't do for many of its shows. And it really just shows, it exemplifies what sets Stranger Things apart from a lot of what Netflix normally does. So far, episode one, I'm a big fan, continue to be a big fan. And I think it's probably one of the stronger initial episodes of the series.
I would say, one of the things we've discussed on the show is that it does feel like there was kind of, I almost didn't think it would make it this long or make it past season 4, because it felt like a lot of people were like meh on seasons 2 and even more season 3. But I think this is the season where it picks back up. Obviously, it's way more popular than the past two seasons. And I really do think it moves us more forward. Those other ones were almost felt like filler compared to once you've gotten all the way through the first 7 episodes. And this one feels like, okay, we're back. We're racing towards the end, even though we have one more season. And everything we haven't explored. Yeah.
Revisiting seasons 2 and 3, I think season 3 is, in retrospect, the most fun. The most stuff happens, and it's just the most...
Alexi, more Brett Gelman, a.k.a. Murray.
Yeah,
season 3 is pretty... But I think that's the least received, well-received one, just where people are kind of like, is Stranger Things still good?
And I'll never not be annoyed by the people who thought they knew Hollywood in season 2. They're like, oh... That extra episode when they're in Chicago, clearly they're going for a spinoff, and I just am not here for it. I hate that.
There is a Stranger Things spinoff announced.
But it's not that. Is it those characters?
No, we don't know what it is. And Duffer Brothers says Netflix, it doesn't even have any idea what they're about to get themselves into.
My point is that people were very much like, oh, I'm in the know about Hollywood and the way it works. This is clearly a spinoff setup, and I'm not falling for it. This episode is shit. 0 out of 5 stars. Like, there was a lot of that going on for that episode in season 2.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm just like, that's not what that episode was trying to do. And I'm eternally annoyed at that.
And now you understand the warning in front of the first episode too.
I do. Obviously. I now understand the warning.
And that will come back again and again, even though they only put the warning on the first episode, because obviously that's a flashback that will become more and more important. I can't believe
CG
I didn't think
face.
Of it the first. Yeah. It works. It looks so good. Looks way better than Luke Skywalker. Or
I will say that end at the end of freaking episode 1. Jesus Christ. I did not expect them to go that hard in like the last literally 15 seconds of the episode. Did not expect that to go that
hard. Oh, the first death.
Yeah.
The exorcism. Duffer Brothers have talked a lot about they've wanted to, they like the Amblin film, but they've always wanted to get to like as the kids got old enough, like pure horror,
like Nightmare on Elm Street. It went to Nightmare on Elm Street is basically
Exorcist.
What it was.
Yeah. It's insane. And Vecna. Oh, so cool. I got it right this week, Kyle. I remember that the C goes in front of the N. I'm like, Venka, Vecna. So do you want to talk a little about the boys and Strange New Worlds, Danny? I say with Stranger Worlds.
You can grab those because you've watched those, because I also binge watched the last season of Umbrella Academy.
About that.
I've really enjoyed these shows. I can't quite put my finger what I've enjoyed most about them. I think it's the way they really seem to have given heart to each of the characters as the seasons have gone on. I love the soundtrack to the show. The ending of season three, no spoilers, anybody. The ending of season three is equally satisfying but frustrating at the same time. And if anyone out there has actually watched the whole of Umbrella Academy season three, they'll hopefully agree with that. It's a great ending, but also makes me want to go, oh, fuck's sake. It's been a great season. The characters and the script writing has been really, really good. The stories that each of the characters have had over three seasons have been fantastic. And this last season, mad as a sack of spaniels, as gory as fuck. And it's not new to anybody, this kind of stuff. They push the envelope quite a lot, but they do it in such a way that makes it so much fun and so entertaining. But also, it seems to stick with the theme of the show really, really well. So I congratulate them for their season three. And as far as I know, it is the last one, even though it is left. As far as I understand, it's the last one, but who knows? The ending does leave possibilities. But what show, that's not a spoiler, what show right now ever actually ends with an actual ending where you don't think, well, maybe they could bring a character back, etc.? So
I would have thought Breaking Bad, but they already proved me wrong on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not even talking about Better Call Saul. I'm talking about the movie.
If you've been a fan of the first two seasons, go and check out number three. I want to rest for a couple of days before you watch this episode. I watched the whole season in one day, and each episode is just under 55 minutes. So one whole day just watching Umbrella Academy season three. Check that out if you're a fan of the first two. It's a great ending.
Kyle says no word on season four. Yeah, but the creator says four would be the last.
Well, I hope that this season three is popular enough that they make it and make the decision. So that's
it's been a fairly popular show. And if they keep the budget lower than Stranger Things, which they obviously are, Stranger Things is their flagship. Yeah. Would you recommend the show to me? I've never seen a single episode.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, give it the three episode rule of the season one, because there's some good stuff in season one, and hopefully you'll enjoy it too.
I think I'll be hooked on a show like that by three episodes.
Yeah, it is mad as a sack of spaniels. Great soundtrack, great characters. You care about all of them, one way or another. So certainly check it out, buddy. Give it the three episode rule for sure.
Okay. Speaking of mad of a sack of spaniels, The Boys. Oh my God. It's Herogasm was not kind of everything they said it would be. They're like, this would be the grossest fucking. That was last week. I already watched last night's today's episode because they've started releasing them before my bedtime or even before midnight on the East Coast.
Okay, Nick, can I just stop you right there? A question for you. I've watched last week's episode twice now, and I've watched it on two different platforms. Don't ask me how. On one platform, I saw an edited version. It wasn't as X-rated. It wasn't as
I hope I've seen the most X-rated version
I saw. So, that's the thing. That's why. So, in spoilers from last week, Jam, are you okay with this, buddy? I mean, I know you've not watched it yet.
By the time he gets there, he'll forgotten this conversation
Did you see, this is a sentence I never thought I'd say, did you see the octopus sucking his
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Did you see the balls hanging over the toilet pan?
I don't think so.
See, now that was Kyle's giving me the thumbs up. I'm not talking about your last Saturday night, Kyle. I'm talking about The Boys season three.
So Kyle did see it or didn't
see it? No, it's when she's showing him that the the camera footage from the toilet.
On TiVo, yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did see that. Because yeah. I obviously watched on Amazon Prime, and they're not going to censor it on their own platform.
Well, here's the interesting thing. We watched it, and this is what I say, because we can get two different versions of Amazon Prime, because I'm in Dubai, obviously, but if you're linked it with UK Amazon
account, they edited the Dubai version.
No. The other way around, dude. The UK Amazon Prime version had an edited
laughing so
version,
hard. So
you European prudes.
I know, right? Yeah, we invented pornography. So you didn't see the toilet. You didn't see the octopus. You didn't see any of this stuff. It was just suggested. And that's why it was like, okay, well, that really sucks, because when I watched it the full unedited version. So anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's why I wanted to just check the version. Because as soon as you said wasn't quite as mad as you thought, I thought, I wonder if you guys got a edited version, but it sounds like you got the proper version.
Yeah.
And Jammer, it really is as weird as I just made it sound. There is some balls and octopus. It's mad.
Well, here's one of the reasons, like, I didn't think it was any crazier than any other episode as far as grossness, especially since I've seen more real dumped on people in Jackass Forever than I've seen fake sprayed all over Mother's Milk.
I'm glad you mentioned that was the film you watched, and that's what.
Because a theatrical release had
first,
more real
first I was thinking I was like, all right, okay, no. What world are you living in?
It's not human but a Jackass, they like douse people who think they're doing interviews and like bore.
I mean, you said Jackass and I got it. As long as you mentioned Jackass, we're good.
We're good.
The porn parody of Jackass. Could you imagine how dirty that would be? I'm Johnny Knoxville and welcome to me fucking somebody. But no, the beauty of Herogasm was that I think they use that as a
Herogasm.
I think they use that to bring people in, because I found it one of the more satisfying action and emotional wise episodes of the show. Yeah. Where there's a lot of character growth. And the fight between, I mean, I said this with Kyle and Marvel. I said it with Kyle at some point and he disagrees a little bit. It's the budget's lower. They have less time to shoot it. But I thought the fight between Butcher, Soldier Boy teaming up on Homelander reminded me a lot of, you know, Iron Man fighting Bucky and Cap at the same time.
I could see what you meant by that. They did.
It was interesting.
I totally understand where you saw that. And I can think that's where they got the ideas from. It's a much shorter fight. But I think they've been doing a great job with things like that, considering the things you just mentioned.
And then there's the cape joke. He's like, you're the cheap knockoff. Look at you. Real heroes don't wear capes. I love Soldier Boy.
They've done such a great job, though, with it, isn't it? It's the writing of the characters and the script. They don't need to spend so much money on the effects and stuff, because they do such a great job with everything else. It's such a well-written show. Everything from the little newspaper video articles that they post as part of the show to their actual
social media stuff is so good. Yeah. Deep thoughts with the deep. Just give me that every week. I'm like, that's awesome. I remember one of them this week was like, do you know, if you drop a single tea leaf in the ocean's just really diluted tea and just stuff like that. And it's just shot for social media marketing. Like it's not to be included in the show Jammer. They even have like websites to buy dildos. You can't actually use the website because there was a dildo fight in an episode where a main character killed a room full of people with dildos that were based on the Seven. Like Starlights is a vibrator. I don't know, this week's episode was pretty shocking. Lots more. I won't spoil anything, though. There's a big twist at the end of the episode, but again, it was them working with Soldier Boy to take out one of his old teammates, because, you know, as we know even from earlier episodes, that they set him up. Like the Russians didn't just capture him, his team set him up. And there's also an entire scene where Black Noir is sitting inside of like an old Chuck E. Cheese type place, and the cartoons drawn on the walls start like talking to him, and like he's mad as a sack of spaniels. And they start appearing as like the superheroes, like, you know, on the wall they're just like a deer and like a bear and stuff, but suddenly the bear is wearing Black Noir's costume and talking to like a Homelander dressed like chipmunk or something, and it's bonkers. And yeah, there's a huge twist at the end where you're like, oh shit, the world has changed again. And Strange New Worlds, I'll just talk about it briefly. I really enjoy the variation of episodes. Last week was very much a magical episode where some kind of, you know, weird being, just like in the original series, puts all the characters into storybook roles. It's like Spock's a wizard and like the Doctor's the king. And like, and it's really interesting. Whereas this week's episode doesn't even hide it. It's literally Alien.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's brilliant. There's fucking little aliens bursting out of people's necks and like growing at rapid pace. And they're like isolated on a ship trapped up. That's like in the middle of an ice storm. So they can't even leave the ship.
Yeah. It's Alien 3. It's Aliens for sure. It's the whole first three films. But it's Alien 3 that they really steal stuff from. And like Nick said, unashamedly as well. But they do it in such a great way. It's not like they're taking the piss. They do it for serious notes, and it's done really, really well. It's such a great show overall.
Yeah, but each episode feels different.
Yeah, love it. I'm loving its episodic feel. I think we've all discussed that before. It's one of the reasons why I think it's definitely my favorite. And I've not, because of this, I've not even bothered with the latest season of what's the other one?
Picard. Nick,
Not
Discovery. Discovery, because you're not caught up.
Yeah, not caught up on that. But Strange New Worlds, I'm looking forward to this every week. It's like this and The Boys, I'm looking forward to. Ms. Marvel, I still haven't watched episode 2 yet. So it just goes to show where I'm leaning at the moment. It's great. Absolutely love this episode. Yep. And you can watch it without being a Star Trek fan. I think you really can. I think
this is one.
Watch this and enjoy it.
This is one I recommend to people who haven't even seen the Kelvin movies. Almost everyone I know has at least seen the JJ movies. But if you like the JJ movies, I think you'll think this is even better. It's very much the old show without being like, oh, we're going to a gangster planet, or oh, we're going to a Nazi planet where they're literally Nazis. It's like, no, they're different aliens. But then you can do an episode that's just like the movie Alien, or you can do an episode where it's a storybook, or you can do an episode where, you know, there it's all space fights. And I won't spoil which alien it is that they've encountered, but it's an alien that used to be the cheesiest alien in the original series, and now it's absolutely terrifying. So yeah. I love what they've
was
done.
Was that alien that was from, in that cheesy fight, that reptile thing?
Yeah, from the worst fight scene ever, if you look it up on YouTube. It's that alien, and now they're fucking terrifying pilots and terrifying alien, like from the movie Alien type creatures that impregnate you and like jump out of your neck and like just scurry around and grow at a rapid rate. So, and are super intelligent because they're not like they have their own ships and stuff. They're not just running around.
Do you remember Aliens, Jammer? Do you remember Bill Paxton's character Hudson?
I feel like I exclusively remember his character.
Well, you won't forget. In this episode, Kirk, the character,
Captain Kirk's brother. Kirk, yeah, he's Samuel Kirk.
He definitely plays Bill Paxton.
Yes, he does.
He goes off on one. He is, we're all going to die. We're all going to fucking die.
Someone.
It's great that Kirk, everyone would think is Captain Kirk, is playing the absolute nut job. It's brilliant.
He's going to survive, spoiler alert. He it's Samuel Kirk. He dies in the original series when Shatner plays him and himself. He has a mustache to play Samuel Kirk.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And yeah, it's a delightful show. He also reminds me of Sam Rockwell, Samuel Kirk, from Galaxy Quest, where he's like, I feel like they've got the guy here who's going to, he even has a little mustache and stuff. And yeah, no, someone already posted the meme where it's like, game over, man, game over. And it's Sam Kirk. Anyway, you guys anything else you've been watching, or shall we wrap up the sucker?
We can wrap it up. Just talking about Star Trek, I did watch the latest episode of The Orville as well.
Oh,
I forgot the show came back.
I still need to watch the original.
If Strange New Worlds wasn't out, I would say Orville is the best Star Trek show for that kind of feeling. But then Strange New Worlds has come out and actually made the better Star Trek show. It's still worth a watch, but it's just not as good as Strange New Worlds, unfortunately. And just quickly on it, it's not as funny. It's trying to be a lot more serious. And that's not a bad thing, because the first season was, you know, was a lot of fun, but it was also a bit goofy in places. So whereas this new season, now it's on Disney. They're Hulu. They're doing a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hulu is Disney. Or, yeah.
Yeah, but it's they're trying to be more serious, and that's not a bad thing. For this, for example, this whole week was about transgender and about the changing of gender and sex and going against the child's wishes. And the whole
didn't
episode
they already have that episode?
About...
Star Trek.
No,
was this...
like no, in, not in your... the Orville. They had
yes,
one where
they did it with
the child.
The best I can say is it's like the Worf character, that character. He had the baby that was born the wrong gender. So
yeah but this latest episode, that child has grown up.
So they're paying it off.
So inside, so spoiler alert, anybody on the inside, he is still a female, even though they changed him physically to a male. So it's his inner turmoil about not being physically what he feels he is. He feels he's a she. So the whole show is about him wanting to change back to being a she, how his two parents, his two male parents, his two dads, one is okay with it, one is not. So the whole episode is about that dynamic and about going against his rights and her becoming what she feels she wants to look like in the mirror is how she reflects how she feels on the inside. I know, right? And that's not what I expected. When you watch the first season of The Orville, you would not expect that to be an episode a couple of years later down the line. So
yeah, I know season 2 was pretty serious, I feel like, especially the stuff with like Isaac and all that and him like going really bad and stuff. So yeah, I always felt like the show was definitely pitched as more of a comedy than it ended up being.
I think that's what I'm sure.
So watch it if you're a fan of Star Trek. The Orville is a great show, but yeah. Strange New Worlds.
When did the Orville get so woke?
Okay.
With that, you guys want to wrap her up? Cut the chat.
Yeah, sir.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on another wonderful episode of Breaking Kids Radio, the podcast. We, of course, can be found on the Genre First Podcast Network, getting it right at the end of the show because I screwed up the beginning, LRMonline.com, and on YouTube on our channel for the Genre First Podcast Network. We're everywhere you listen to podcasts. Check us out there. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. If you don't like us, don't review us. That would be great. no, do what you want.
Don't review us. If you don't like us, don't review us. Stand by that statement.
Kyle just shook his head. So I'm like, I'll go walk him back. Tell your friends about us. And with that, he's making me cough. Jammer, where can thee be found? Oh, wait. Before we get to you. I want to talk about the other wonderful shows on the Genreverse Podcast Network. Okay, Animeversal, COG is back. Daily Cup of Genre with Kyle and Manny. We got The Cantina. We got Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. And we got, I always forget the name of your video response. Genre Shot, which is still one of my favorites to watch. Kyle is like, let's go watch it one more time, everybody. And he's like, what the fuck was that? Like his Stranger Things Part 1. One was fantastic, but it'll never be as good as Nope. No offense. I liked watching you terrified. I loved watching Kyle terrified. now, Jammer, where can you be found?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all my books under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon and Audible. Also, I got a new book that just came out. Well, a new release that just came out. It is a duology omnibus edition called Champions of Mithrune. You can check it out on Amazon currently. That's 900 plus pages, or if you're an Audible listener, it's about 25-ish hours of content. Nice. So definitely check it out. Champions of Mithrune.
Danny.
You'll find me in bed. It's nearly midnight here. Let's wrap it up.
Sounds good. And I am at Geeky Nick Doll. I also do Marvel Multiverse Mayhem with Kyle, who is at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. And thank you, as always, Kyle, for being our producer, even though I said we wouldn't thank you this episode. And with that, hasta lasagna.
Do not be getting any of the lasagna on you. Mission has been completed.
Stop screwing up my Mission Impossible lines, you fuck.